Thoughts and prayers, by the way, to the family and friends and fans of King Kong Bundy.
King Kong Bundy, no longer with us.
Chris Paley's.
Much younger than I thought. I thought King Kong Bundy would be... He was only 61. I thought he was going to be a lot older than that.
Seems like those real big guys... There's a lot of wear and tear on those bodies, isn't there?
The shelf life is not great.
Yeah, probably
not.
No. So, during the award-winning Trending Now...
Thank you, Dale.
...moments ago, you heard Rich say that Dustin Pedroia will make his spring training debut on Thursday. Alex Cora has also told us what the starters' schedule will be. They're going to take the training wheels off the rotation.
Good. Here. Let them loose.
So, Eduardo Rodriguez will start Saturday. Rick Porcello Sunday. Chris Sale Monday. David Price Tuesday, Nathan Eovaldi Wednesday.
That's a good rotation.
So that it's a real good rotation.
I like that rotation.
If they're healthy, you right. like their rotation a lot. But we'll finally kind of kick the training wheels off a little bit. And now I'm going to be honest with you here. I still don't much like the whole bullpen situation.
It's terrible. No, it's really bad.
I don't like it at all.
I feel like it's irresponsible to take this kind of a team and then just ninth inning, put your hands in the air. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. This is the defending World Series champs. They brought almost everybody back. You know, key players from a year ago. Craig Kimbrell's gone. Joe Kelly, who was really good in the playoffs, kind of up and down in the regular season. Those guys are gone. Anybody else of consequence? I mean, Ian Kinsler, whatever. Pomerantz was horrible. Like, everybody's back.
I saw that SportsCenter today, they had a feature on this morning. I think they were trying to make the case for Matt Barnes being the closer.
Okay, what was that case? How'd that case go? He's pitched the relief before.
He's been in the game.
He's been on the team a lot. John Farrell used to use him every single game. Like, what? I don't really know what the case would be for Matt Barnes. And maybe, he can do it. But you're leaving a lot to chance there. You know, you have a ton of money invested. We've also talked about, despite the fact that this is a pretty young team overall, the window is not very big because Mookie Betts could be gone in 2 years. Xander Bogaerts could be gone in a year. JD Martinez could actually be gone in a year. Chris Sale could be gone or whatever. I mean, they have so many guys that it's uncertain whether or not they'll be back next year. It's certainly the year after that, that you're going to go into a year with Ryan Brazier and Matt Barnes as your closer. Tyler Thornburg. I mean, these are guys that I'd be a little shaky if it was the seventh or eighth inning. And now you're saying, no, these are the guys that are going to be closing out games.
It's the one hole in this team. And it kind of looks like Craig Kimbrell may actually find a landing spot here. Apparently the Nationals may be interested in bringing him in.
Right.
But it's the one thing where, and I understand that they've got a gigantic payroll, and I appreciate the fact that this ownership has always been willing to spend money. They went above the luxury tax threshold a year ago. Probably going to be above it again this year. They can't sign everybody. I understand that. But going into the season without... feeling confident in anybody pitching the ninth inning of a one-run game for you.
And that's what's shaky, too, is when you don't have that bona fide closer, like whoever it is, if you don't have that guy, it's so much easier to question a guy who struggles. For example, last year, if Craig Kimbrell blew a save in May, you're like, oh, tough game, we'll get to the next time. There's nobody, not a single person doubting on the team, as the manager, front office, fans, media. Nobody's doubting that the next time there's a save situation, Craig Kimbrell's going to get it, and chances are he's going to come through. Now, let's say Matt Barnes is your guy. If he blows the first save right out of the chute, what do you do? And now you're like, oh, my God, if he blows another one. And, like, so many teams around the league do deal with this. You know, there are teams that say, well, he's the closer
for
now.
Yeah, you were one of the few teams who, it wasn't really a question. You had one of the better closers in the game.
You had a guy.
You knew who the guy was going to be, short of, I've used him 3 games in a row. I'm not going to go to him today. But he was your guy. Now you're like a lot of other teams in the league. You've got a great lineup. You've got a really, really good rotation.
Right.
Your bullpen depth isn't horrible, but the back of the bullpen is a total, complete question mark.
But it's also going to be really tested this year because you get the sense that, much like last year, Alex Cora is going to be smart with his starters. And so let's say Chris Sale is just dominant. He still might only be dominant for 6 innings, and then they take him out. Same with David Price. He might be dominant and could go 7, maybe even 8, but they say, you know what? We're going to save
some
of those bullets.
Yep.
6 innings. So now all of a sudden, you're thinking about 3 innings at least. I mean, Eduardo Rodriguez is good for 5 innings. So there's 4 innings every single night, 3 or 4 innings out of your bullpen. And if it's close, it's just Barnes and Brazier. So my prediction is at some point this season,
they're going to trade for one.
Yes. They're going to make a trade. There's going to be, and then that honestly could be a bit of a crapshoot because they could look at a bad team that has a closer that goes out there every ninth inning, is racking up saves on a bad team, maybe has a pretty good ERA, but now you put him in Boston all of a sudden, midway through the season. There's no guarantee that could work. We saw it with Mark Melancon and Joel Hanrahan. Those guys couldn't go from small market to big market.
And let's get this storyline out of the way here. One of the texters says they had to bring in Sale to close the World Series. Kimbrel is overrated. You don't think that's why they brought in Chris Sale to close the World Series, do you, sir?
I think, ma'am. I don't know if
whichever
that's
you are.
Necessarily what it is.
I think we all knew why they brought in Chris Sale to close out the World Series.
I mean, you could see the team reaction to it.
The whole team is lined up like a tunnel, everybody applauding on his way out of the bullpen.
Right, and that's also...
You don't think they would have done that for Kimbrel?
They may not have.
They
may
get all fired up?
No, Mary Hart would have been all over it, though. She would have been very excited for that. But the starters and that whole idea of those guys closing games... That's great. Come playoff time, you could do that again if you want, but you still have 162 games, and chances are the closer is going to throw, 60 innings or whatever this year. So basically, Kimbrel and Kelly combined for about 120 innings, and you replace them with who? You're expecting more out of Tyler Thornburg, I guess?
Ryan Brazier?
Or is it Mejia? Is that who they got? Generous Mejia, the guy that was all roided up and...
He's had some issues.
Wasn't he banned from baseball at one point?
Yeah, well.
He won his appeal, though. Good for him. Who'd he get as his lawyer? That Goldberger guy? But either way, he's back.
You're in really, really deep trouble.
So maybe he will, maybe he'll end up being the guy. I don't know. But right now, I just don't like it because this team is good everywhere else. I mean, they're loaded. Great lineup. You got an MVP. You got an MVP, a couple of MVP candidates in my mind. You have a good rotation that we just were talking about. Bullpen, you say, what? I think Alex Cora referred to it as a flexible bullpen situation. Because you can't call it bullpen by committee, Dale, because people, you know, they hate that.
Around here, especially.
You can't say that, but if you say flexible bullpen situation, I don't like that either.
I think that it is a... Now, I may be wrong. Maybe Brazier's going to be great. And I'm the one half joking that he was going to be your closer this year. Yeah. Maybe he'll come out there and just blow everybody away and we'll all be mocking our take here on, you know, March 5th. But if I'm a Red Sox fan going into the season, don't I think that's the one hole I have? And it's kind of a gaping hole.
Yeah. I absolutely think it is. Matt Barnes has 2 career saves. So he's a guy who's, you know, always worked kind of middle relief, setup man at best. That's kind of been where he's at in his career. And I just think it's a different mindset to all of a sudden be, all right, it's a one-run game, and now you're in there. You know, the pressure is on every single time. How does he adjust to that? It's not like he's a young guy. He's been in the majors now for a little while, and that just hasn't been his role. So that's really the biggest question mark, you know, outside of will they be able to re-sign some of these guys and where do they go after the next year? As far as, like, you know, payroll and roster stuff's concerned, the biggest question has to be closer.
And I'll say this, we had questions, about Pedroia going into spring training for obvious reasons, you know, with the time he missed last year. It looks more and more like he's your opening day second baseman.
He could be.
And you're improved with him at second base. Your lineup, which is really good to begin with, is even better.
Yeah, because second base, you weren't really getting a whole lot of anyway. So whatever whatever he gives you is sort of a bonus. Plus, he's better defensively than those guys, even though I know he said he's not going to dive for balls when they're up by a lot. We'll see how long that lasts. He may not be able to help
himself.
He may not be able to help himself.
Oh, he won't.
But, they're better with him. I don't expect much at all out of him. Like, I would say he plays in less than half the games, but at least you're starting the season with him and, you know, just see how long it can last.
617-779-7937. Bill's in Holyoke. Hey, Bill.
You know, it's funny, talking about this bullpen stuff coming off a World Series, so much better than 2002 when they went closer by committee in 2003. They started off with Chad Fox as the main guy, and that just didn't work.
Brandon Lyon, I think, was another guy that got a lot of chances.
Yeah, then the trade Shea Hillenbrand to get young Kim, and he was okay throughout the regular season, then lost his mind come playoff time. But in the end result, they get Scott Williamson, who was dominant along with Embry and Timlin, but and they still blew it. Ended up having to get Keith Fulk for 2004 and win the World Series. So I wouldn't be surprised going forward is that they're going to try to sell this. We have a lot of power arms thing, and nobody can throw strikes, so on and so forth, then try to minimize the expense on getting somebody that's got experience closing come July, August, September, if they're close. They're using political capital. They just won the World Series. And I respect the fact, like Dale said, they've spent a ton of money. But this is a matzo ball hanging over the heads because the bullpen is everything nowadays. And we got a bunch of guys that have never done the most important inning of a game.
See, I actually, Bill, to follow up your point, and thank you for the call, I actually didn't – I understood if they didn't want to re-sign Craig Kimbrell. I thought his –
for what he was asking for,
I thought
it was outrageous.
His contract demands were out of line. He certainly had some question marks, especially last year in the playoffs. If you decide, you know what, we're going to go in another direction. But it doesn't feel like they went in another direction. They just went, well, we'll see.
This is what we have left. You want some damning Matt Barnes stats?
Oh, boy.
You ready for these? How about this?
I'm going to guess ESPN didn't run these babies out.
Get my Rich Keefe stat of the day, because this will absolutely knock your socks off. I hope everybody's sitting down, because these stats you're not going to want to hear. Because I think
it's Rich Keefe's stat of the day.
Thank you, Tom. In the seventh inning, for his career, Matt Barnes' career ERA, 3.53.
Do you have the best bullpen in baseball?
Yes. In the eighth inning, for his career, Matt Barnes' ERA, 3.77. The ninth inning in his career, Matt Barnes' ERA, 5.22. There's your guy. There he goes.
Sounds like we should put him in the fifth.
Yeah. What do you got, Todd Jones? Who is this guy? A nice 5 ERA? You can still rack up a lot of saves on a good team with a 5 ERA, but it's not going to be pretty.
Now, maybe you've got, as we said, a good enough rotation and a good enough starting lineup and batting order that you're thinking, you know, we can play around with this other thing. We can kind of get through this.
Yeah, until you're blowing games for Sale and Price and those guys are saying,
hold on.
Yeah, Sale in a contract year, losing games left and right because of his closer. Yeah, be good.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Oh, I forgot it's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
That means Kiefer Madness coming up at about 12:30 or thereabouts. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Kiefer, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Kiefer with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Kiefer on WEEI.
I almost wish I was with Jerry Callahan right now.
Okay,
just
I can leave.
Just no, I don't mean here. I mean wherever Jerry Callahan is, just to see his head explode with the announcement this morning by the New York Mets. Quote, the New York Mets announced today that Jessica Mendoza has been named a baseball operations advisor for the club. In her new role, Mendoza will provide insight to Executive Vice President and General Manager Brody Van Wagenen, as well as the entire baseball operations department. Her focus will be in the areas of player evaluation, roster construction, technological advancement, and health and performance.
There you go. Really wearing a lot of hats there.
And this is in addition to her role as an analyst for ESPN. So, I mean, I guess technically Alex Rodriguez serves as some sort of an advisor to the Yankees.
And David Ortiz has a role with the Red Sox, and he still does stuff on
Although
Fox.
Although I'm not actually sure what his role is.
I think it's like advisor, which doesn't really mean anything. It's just I don't know if you're on the payroll, if you're like an ambassador. Doesn't Pedro, he does something too, I think, with the team.
So I guess it seems like they sort of show up now and then, and you know, Pedro will be out working with
Ortiz was down at spring training. He had some comments about how good he thinks the team's going to be. That was kind of about it. But the Mets are also the team, Dale, with Tim Tebow. Did you see Tebow yesterday?
I saw he had a couple of hits.
We broke in live.
Your Boston Red Sox.
We broke in live for his first at bat. We were on the air for his first at bat, and we
dumped
cut
one in front of the right fielder there. We're
this was a little squib back to the mound.
We're actually going to be covering all of Tebow's at bats throughout the season.
Good.
Anytime he's on during our show.
I have no problem with that. I think that's a great idea. Do we have a Tebow sounder?
We're going to have one.
Okay, good.
Are you still convinced you're going to see him on the Mets roster.
100%. The Mets are
September
bad.
Call-ups, I could absolutely agree with you. I don't know that you'll see him before then.
Yeah, I don't know if he's on the opening day roster, but no. I think he absolutely is. It's not like he's not a awful, awful player, and the Mets are an awful, awful team.
They are.
So it's going to get to the point where they're going to be so far out of first place, maybe the ticket sales aren't doing as well, and they just use them. Because wouldn't you be much more interested in the Mets, going to a Mets game or even turning the TV on if Tebow was playing? Whether you love him or hate him, you're just going to want to see what he can do. Like, what is this guy doing playing in the majors? So, yes, Tim Tebow will play in a major league game this season.
Rob Bradford had this to say about Tebow's
hit. Let's hear it.
This is the one you guys missed.
Okay.
I mean, even that hit right there, okay, you can say the other hit he had was a blooper into center field. That one, he took the other way, hit it right on the button against... You know, a pitcher who might not be a major league pitcher, but he's a high minor league pitcher.
There you go. Well said, Bradfo. That's all you need. Yeah, if he was in a different franchise, you know, one that was thinking they were a playoff team or, you know, had 25 legit major leaguers on their roster, I would say, nah, it's probably not likely, you know, barring a bunch of injuries. But he's in the perfect place. He's on the Mets. Like he's going to play. Now, he may be getting some help as far as hitting is concerned, Dale, because Jose Canseco.
Oh, good.
You know Jose Canseco.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
He took to Twitter.
There might not be a bigger whack job on Twitter than Jose Canseco.
There may not be. Now, we called, I'll get to his tweet here in a second, but he had a thing. He tweeted out a while ago that you could go on a Bigfoot hunt or an alien hunt with Jose Canseco.
Yeah.
You had to call a number to get set up. So, of course...
I'm guessing they'll take your credit card, too.
Well, no, the phone thing got shut down. I called immediately, and what happened, Rossi?
We called, and it said, this number is no longer in service.
I think they got flooded. Yeah. It was his manager. He even has it in his bio. He says, like, call my manager for appearances. But this was... I specifically wanted to go on the Bigfoot slash alien hunt, which I don't know if it was one or the other, or if you just did them on the same day. I don't know. But anyway, Tebow tweeted out yesterday... Canseco tweeted out yesterday about Tebow, because he was making the rounds and had the highlights with the hits and everything. He said, Tim Tebow, let me help you with your swing. I just saw one of your at-bats. You have no rhythm right now, and you're too rotational. I will help you for free. I'm a fan of yours. How about that? No
a
cost.
Fan.
Canseco's looking for money at every turn. This could be a scheme, too, though.
He may get you in
a couple of tips, get him on the tee.
You think this is part of the ghost hunt?
But I think, no, I don't think it's anything
wasn't,
to do with
it.
It wasn't a ghost
ghosts.
Hunt, Rossi. Just listen to a word
that's
I
a
say.
Reputable way of making a living.
Not a ghost
Thank
hunt.
You very much.
This was a Bigfoot and alien hunt.
Oh, they're all ghosts to me.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Big feet are real.
He called it an excursion.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh, an excursion.
Ooh.
I'd pay extra for an excursion. But then he says, but don't you think he's got a keen eye for hitting? He says, you got no rhythm. You're too rotational. He's going to help you for free.
By the way, that's one of those phrases you throw around when you're trying to, you know, show how smart you are.
Oh, Jose knows what he's doing. He's an former MVP. Too rotational.
Why is it no one's hired him?
Jose?
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of toxic.
Do you think?
He's a little toxic.
Could you imagine what the Mets would do if Tim Tebow said to them, hey, listen, I'm going to bring...
Jose around.
I'm going to bring Jose Canseco in. He's going to work with me on my swing a little bit, you know, get things going here.
Yeah, he's turned into a bit of a circus act in his post-playing careers, Dale. He was a MMA fighter at one point. He fought Hyung Man Choi in pride fighting.
That didn't go so well.
And it's the first time I've seen a lot of mixed martial arts fights. Jose Canseco wore pants. He wore pants.
Like compression pants?
Yeah, they were tight pants, but he wore pants. Most of those guys wear, you know, shorts. He was wearing pants.
The most casual MMA guy I've never seen.
Would that be like when The Rock was wrestling in his Adidas tracksuit?
Yeah, it was similar to that. You're like, this doesn't look right. This doesn't look right. Yeah, but Jose, he's keeping busy out there, that's for sure. We can maybe call that number again.
Tried it again recently.
Oh, no, no luck?
It still says out of service.
Yikes. Anyway.
I'm going to guess that... nobody's going to be giving Jose Canseco a gig in organized baseball.
No, maybe not. Maybe not.
But
Tebow, you think Tebow plays this year?
Only in September.
Oh, okay. So you're waiting.
Yeah, I think
September.
He's a September call-up right. guy. Yes, I think. And by that point, they're going to be so many games out of first place.
Oh, my God.
They're going to be playing in front of friends and family anyway.
They'll sell it out with Tebow.
So they'll get some fan. Now, I don't know.
I bet they might, do.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're underestimating the appeal of Tim Tebow. People are going to go nuts to see him.
I know everybody thinks I hate the guy. I don't. I really don't.
Doesn't sound like he hates him.
How old is he now? 32?
Well, that's none of your business, dude.
I'm just saying.
So Tim Tebow is, let's find out how old he is. He's a young 31.
31. Okay. Yeah. So 31-year-old rookie looking to make his major league debut. I'm sorry,
Dale. You ever heard of Brian Daboch?
Yeah, how'd that go, too?
Great. He hit third for the lineup.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
He was a stud. Like Brian Daboch.
He was also, you know, as people will tell you, a scab.
Well, okay. We're not all perfect.
Which is how he got the gig.
Dale, he saw an opportunity and he took
it.
Now, did he get thrown out all the time because every player hated him? Yes. But God bless Brian Daboch. Proving, don't give up on your dreams. You could be in the minors for 11 years and then, you know, come out smelling like roses on the other side. I'm sure there are other examples. Who's another old guy that made it? The guy that, from that movie they made, the Tampa Bay Rays. Remember the pitcher for the love of the game?
Yeah. I missed that one.
Huh? You didn't see that one? Anyway, he was a longtime minor leaguer. He threw the ball. He got out of his car, threw the ball at the speed limit sign there. The radar. They're like, wow, you still have it. And then next thing you know, call up.
Wasn't Hideki Matsui like 36 when he was a rookie in the majors?
He was playing pro
Jim
ball elsewhere.
Jim Morris is the guy you're thinking of.
Yeah.
September of 1999.
How old was he, like 100?
He became, at the age of 35, he made an improbable comeback 10 years after he had originally retired from professional baseball.
So you're telling me I still got a chance?
35.
Get in there.
Ryan Brazier.
Really good one.
He and Jim Morris is the guy who gave up that lucrative career as a high school physics teacher.
That's right. Smart guy too. Had a brain on him.
Very much. Yeah. But gave that up to, you know, get back into the baseball gig.
Pretty good. And then was it Randy Quaid portrayed him in the film?
Yeah. It was a great story.
Pretty good.
Not
pretty
a good movie, but a great story.
So tell me again why Tim Tebow can't do it.
Oh no, look, the Mets will be so desperate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That they may end up using him. I think it's kind of tough to make that transition at that age. Don't you? Does he look like a viable major league player to you?
Define viable. I think he looks like a guy that could get a sniff. Yeah, I don't see why not. He's got a little bit of pop. You could fill out a uniform with the best of them, Dale.
Oh, he's a very attractive man.
He looks good out there. But yeah, it's certainly a weird one, and you kind of wonder, what if he just started playing baseball 10 years ago? Like, what
he might have? He might then.
I don't know.
He might have been able to.
But no, I mean he's
got kind of a late start.
Yeah, you know, way too much time playing football, and then he was doing his TV for a while. I think it's a cool story though. I know a lot of people hate on him. I think in the NFL in particular, so many former players and analysts. Like hated the guy, and like we're like, what is he doing in the league? And you're like, okay, there's every team doesn't have 53 amazing players, right? Like there are different guys. He was worth a shot, and it didn't work out for him, and so now he's trying to play baseball. So you know, God bless him.
God
certainly does bless him
all the time.
There's no doubt.
I do think that there was a segment of the population that didn't like him because he wore his religious heart on his sleeve.
That's true.
There are folks who just said, hey, come on.
Yeah.
Stop with that stuff. Just go out and play.
He also got the, you know, his last couple of years at Florida and then his rookie year, he got so much attention. Like he got the LeBron, Brett Favre kind of treatment where SportsCenter was just constantly saying, hey, look at this Tim Tebow highlight. Look at this Tim Tebow highlight. And it was nonstop Tebow. So that turns people off too. And that had nothing to do with him. That was just how he was portrayed in every TV channel.
He also, as a person, he might be as fine a person as there is in sports.
Probably the best guy in the world.
I mean, he might be.
Yeah.
When you think about the things, you know, the things that he does and how he comports himself. I mean,
could be a good clubhouse guy.
He'd be a great clubhouse guy.
The single greatest
turn on him.
The single greatest achievement in Tim Tebow's life is look at that Florida roster that he won a championship with. I'm not out of line saying criminals. He was on a team full of criminals, like bad, bad guys. And they all follow
like Aaron Hernandez.
And then you have the greatest guy ever.
Marquise Pouncey.
Yes, they were loaded. They were horrible guys on that team. And Tim Tebow led them to a college football championship. They all took this guy, the straight-laced, cleanest guy, nicest guy in the world. They all bought in. He had that crazy speech. Remember that it was like after Mississippi State game or whatever? And he was like fighting back tears. He was like so emotional. Those guys didn't make fun of him. They didn't turn on him. They didn't do anything. They followed him all the way to a championship. It's insane. Pull up that roster sometime. And then you got Tim Tebow leading the way. And he had a loser for a coach, too, in Urban Meyer. A terrible guy as a coach. And he was able to overcome all of that. I like Tebow. I'm rooting for him.
You love Tebow. And
I do.
And by the way, as I said, as a person, I love him, too. I do think that there were NFL teams trying to force him down your throat. When it was clear, I mean, when
like
he showed
Patriots?
Up, when he, yo, God, yes. And I couldn't figure it out because all you had to do was watch down a training camp. You'd go, he can't throw.
Well, it was really weird that he wanted to be a quarterback so bad. That part's not weird, but it was, okay, you might be able to carve out an NFL career for yourself doing something else. Like, could he have been an H-back? Could he have been a tight end? Like, he's a big dude. Like, could he have moved around a little bit? Probably. Or could he have played football in Canada? Or could he have played football? I mean, I guess these leagues weren't available when he retired, but does he have any interest in the XFL or the AAF? Like, because you can get out there and play football again.
Well, that's been dead set. Rossi has said all along that he thinks Vince is going to pay him a crap ton of money and make him an XFL centerpiece and quarterback.
Do they have a team?
1 year from now, he'll be in Tampa.
I was going to say, they have a
Mark
Florida
Trestman
team, right?
Mark Trestman is the coach.
Get out of here with Mark Trestman.
Offensive genius.
Rossi's tweeting about Mark Trestman today.
Trestman?
I was like, what on earth?
Did you not see that half a year he had in Chicago? What did he do with Josh McCown?
I saw that half a year. That half a year was amazing.
That's all he needs to do next year.
So Tebow in Florida XFL makes the most sense. And they would actually do really well. People go nuts
until he actually threw the ball.
Dale, come on.
They don't care about that, Dale. He's going to run around. He's a winner.
Just run. Just go wing tee, run the ball. Do that jump pass at the goal line.
Have it be deflected, catch your own pass, touchdown.
You're assuming that he gets them to the goal line.
He could. He was one of the greatest.
In the XFL, he might be.
I was going to say, who's stopping him there? He dominated the SEC. He'd be good in the XFL.
By the way, interest level in the AAF sure dropped off quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit. No, I guess the ratings week 2 and 3 were about the same, right? Or they went slightly up in
have
3?
Have you seen a
little,
two?
Up.
Have
little
you,
up? I watched a little this
have
week.
Have you seen spike. The crowds?
Oh, you're talking about in...
Nobody's going.
It's not a great live event, in-person event. It's more of a TV experience.
More of a
That's
TV
people
event.
People are enjoying it at home.
I was watching. It was an outdoor game in Utah.
Oh, yeah, the nice snow
And
game.
It was snow.
They had a snow game.
It was... There's nobody there. There was no... They never showed the crowd.
By the way,
crowd.
When they play in San Diego, there's nobody there either.
No, there's nobody there.
Those are just bitter fans.
No, well, they are. They're fired
up.
Keep
trying to make excuses. I am telling you.
I don't like the AAF.
No, he hates the
no,
AAF.
No,
screw him.
The XFL is going to fail miserably as well.
Correct.
We got time. We got 12 months.
I know we think
like you're so
that because we
it.
Like the NFL so much, I want it 12 months a year.
I
no,
don't.
You really don't.
I definitely don't.
You don't. You
How about a bonus 2 months?
I don't want that either.
Rossi, nobody wants
no,
to watch football with people you don't know at a time of year when you're not used to watching football.
So if the AAF was on one channel and the Combine was on another channel, what would you watch?
I'd probably the Combine.
I'm watching the Combine. These are the future stars of the NFL.
The underwear Olympics, as we like to call it.
They're wearing tight, tight clothes, running 40s, benching weights. I mean, that's where it's at. I love the Combine.
The Combine might be some of the worst television, though. It's really ridiculous.
Over
well, they got
and
a lot of time. To
oh,
fill.
Here comes another one running. Oh, yeah. Look at this.
But well, really think of like the concept.
Free cone? Like free cone?
They're not in pads. They're just we're seeing how athletic these guys are. That has nothing to do with what happens on the field.
Well, it kind of does, Rossi. You don't think them being athletic has anything to do with them on the field?
No, but them no pads, no contact. They're just running straight lines or they're doing three cones.
Damian Woody was mocking the fact that they're making offensive linemen run the 40-yard.
I mean, like it.
Just think about how many times an offensive lineman's going to run a 40-yard. And when he does,
a ton of times.
You're scoring a touchdown because your running back's 25 yards in front of your offensive lineman.
They're celebrating. Or you return a kickoff like Dan Connolly that one time.
I was there for that game.
When
it
he
was
really,
very exciting.
He rumbled. He had a really good return.
He looked like he was going to die.
I do enjoy the Combine. Although I saw it was on ABC for the first time this year, and it didn't do particularly well.
What? Yeah, I caught it only on the NFL Network. Because you know what came on after it? That AAF game.
AAF, yeah, good for
what
you.
What a nice lead-in.
Yeah, no, true.
How much of it did you watch, Rossi?
The AAF game?
Yeah.
About 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah,
max.
Please.
But
honestly,
it was like cooking
the whole time.
Six or seven,
you're not doing that. Did you guys see DK Metcalf from Ole Miss, the receiver?
Looks
You see
good?
Him, Dale?
He looks like he belongs in a Marvel movie.
Holy smokes. That would be good casting if they could get him. He looks incredible. Now... I don't know how great of a football player
probably
he is.
Probably not.
He's
no.
hurt
but
a
he
lot.
Looks
and
good.
Else, oh, he looks like $1 million.
I mean, it's like you don't want to cover that stuff up.
He might be the first $1 billion man. That guy, he is incredible.
Better living through chemistry? Or?
Yeah, well,
you don't know.
He's all good. So that could be, because he was on, because I was going through all these mock drafts over the weekend, and he was going to the Patriots in one of them. But then after he put up that performance, they're saying he's going to go higher. But that's... That guy, I was talking about with Wiggy yesterday. We're saying he might be too big. Like, remember David Boston, the receiver who had a couple good years, and then all of a sudden he just looked like a middle linebacker. And you're like, well, you're a wide receiver. Like, what are you doing? They just get too big.
Want to spot me? I mean, that's what he's saying.
No, he don't need a spot.
It's a David Boston.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Please. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Kiefer Madness coming up at 1230. Oh, by the way, you'll be shocked to know who the best football coach in the NFL is.
Best football coach
but
in
I'll
the
tell
NFL?
You anyway, when we come
based
back
on
in just
what?
A minute, I don't know.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So the website RotoWorld, a guy named Patrick Doherty, has come out with his complete opus here called NFL's Best Coaches 2019.
Ooh, so we're looking ahead here.
Yeah.
For the upcoming season.
And what he's done, to his credit, the guys who are new this year, he doesn't really count them. Like he lumps them all in at the end. Right. He puts them in at the end and does it in alphabetical order, like Bruce Arians is listed in that group because he's a first-year coach for the Buccaneers.
But I feel like we have more of a tracker. Okay. It's not my
list.
So
Vic Fangio, Brian Flores, Adam Gase is on that list, Cliff Kingsbury, Freddie Kitchens, Matt LaFleur, and Zach Taylor. They're all at the end.
Yeah, okay.
So of the guys who are returning coaches, the worst coach in the NFL is Pat Shurmur.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to argue that one.
The next worst coach, number 23, is John Gruden.
Yeah. And they only have a few more years left on his contract, too, I believe.
So number 22 is Matt Patricia.
Yeah, I could see him lower.
Number 21 is Doug Marrone.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have an issue with any of these
so far.
No, that
sounds about right.
And I started at the bottom of the list.
What is he basis off of? Is he just saying, like, these are who I think are the best?
Yeah,
or does he have, like, a stat?
He's got a whole paragraph. He gives you their career record, how long they've been there, last year's ranking. Like, for instance, Anthony Lynn. A year ago was ranked number 20. This year he went all the way up to number 11.
Yeah, I mean, he had a really good year.
Yep. Matt Nagy is on there at 12, Frank Reich at 13, Bill O'Brien at 14. And I give you the bottom of the list so that I can tell you that when you get to the top of the list, and he's got a whole paragraph about each guy as well. Number one, Bill Belichick. He's got his career record with a .680 winning percentage.
See, if he really wanted people to click on this, he would have Belichick not number one. And then people could get all fired up about it. So, but he's not going there.
No, he gives some reasons why he thinks. Since 2003, the Patriots have averaged 13 wins a year. Which means last year was kind of a down year.
It was a down year.
They go 11-5, their worst regular season since 2009. And all they do is cap it off with a Super Bowl win.
Right.
Number two is Andy Reid, which surprises me because you'd think that the other coach in the Super Bowl would be number two, but he wasn't.
No, and it just goes to show you that there's not a lot of good head coaches. There just isn't. And you know, we're so used to Belichick, you know, each and every year. These other teams are going through coaches all the time. They're just constantly swapping out coaches. The list of great quarterbacks versus the list of great coaches, there's actually more good quarterbacks in the league. Because Andy Reid probably is the second best coach in the NFL. And if he's not second, he's third or fourth. And he's never won the whole thing. And he's been in the league forever.
His 195 wins are the eighth most all time.
Yeah, think about
that. His 6-11 winning percentage is seventh among the top 10.
And if the game was close in the fourth quarter, would you want him as your head coach?
No.
You wouldn't. And yet the reality is you can't name a lot of guys better than him.
He opens his paragraph about Reid, says, online and on the talk shows, Andy Reid is defined by what he's not, a Super Bowl winner. In between the lines, he's one of the greatest coaches ever.
Oof. That's a real bad mark for just NFL coaching.
And number three is Sean McVay.
Yeah, it's fine. He had a bad Super Bowl.
Up from nine a year ago.
Yeah.
He's got a .750 winning percentage.
Right.
24-8 with the Rams.
But offensive genius has got to put up more than 3 points in a Super Bowl.
Number four is Doug Peterson.
Yeah, fine.
Number five is Pete Carroll. Down from number two a year ago. They had him as the second best coach in football a year ago. Down to number five. Number six is Sean Payton. Number seven is Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, that's a joke.
Number eight is John Harbaugh. Nine, Mike Zimmer. And rounding out the top ten, Ron Rivera.
It's not a good list, but again, I'm not saying the list is poorly put together. I'm just saying there's not a lot of good head coaches in the NFL. And so we'll see. There's that list of eight. A lot of those guys are getting jobs for the first time. Maybe one of them can sort of, in a couple of years, vault up the list. But overall, like when you're talking about who might replace Bill Belichick down the road, Belichick have all kinds of flaws to him. Now, McVay, we'll see how he bounces back from a poor performance in the Super Bowl. But like Andy Reid, like kind of has his limitations to it. Those other coaches on there, fine. Like Pete Carroll, like there's definitely pros and cons with Pete Carroll or with John Harbaugh or some of the other guys. But yeah, the league might have I think a lot of people point to how the league has a quarterback problem. It may very well have a head coaching problem. Like that's just not a very impressive list.
For instance, he says of Matt Patricia, Matt Patricia is a rocket scientist who wears shorts in the snow. All true, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So
is that a point against him?
Yeah, they're sort of mocking. They said so was his debut as a head coach.
That was bad.
A campaign that saw the Lions score 86 fewer points than they had the year before.
Do you think he sees a third season in Detroit?
No,
I do not either. I think this is going to be it for him. Just the question of does he get fired mid-season or do they wait till the end of the season? But every year when we do our predictions, first coach to be fired, he's got to be on the short list because there's eight guys already that you know are going to at least maintain through the season. And then there's the top part of that list, which those guys aren't going anywhere. So it would be somebody in that very bottom tier.
Well, it's not going to be Gruden because they've paid him too much money.
No,
they can't. So my guess is it's either Pat Shurmur or Matt Patricia.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And
they'll be
either one of those guys. Really.
They'll get bounced. You know, one of those guys will get bounced early. But it's the single greatest advantage. And everybody says the Patriots, their biggest advantage is they play in the AFC East. They have a better winning percentage against outside the AFC East than they do within the AFC East. Their single greatest advantage is that one.
Well, that would also be a much better argument if they lost in the first round every year. Right? Like if they won the division and then lost to a real playoff team every year. But the fact that they go to the Super Bowl all the time and they win the Super Bowl a lot, that kind of throws the division argument out. At least, and then every once in a while, one of those teams will sort of pop up. And if you're really looking at all the other divisions, they don't have the one dominant team on the top every year, but they kind of take turns on like who's good and who's terrible.
As they point out in their paragraph about Belichick, Belichick has won 11.3% of the Super Bowls ever played.
Yeah, tough to compete against him.
And that's the problem. As they say in here, remember the Seth Wickersham thing? They say Seth Wickersham exposed some nasty behind-the-scenes dysfunction in January of 2018. Belichick's response? Make the Super Bowl twice in the next 13 months.
Right. Yep. Good response.
He says occasionally a Nick Foles or a David Tyree pulls a fast one. More typical is what happened to Andy Reid and Sean McVay's football of the future in the postseason. Reid and McVay really are moving the game forward, but it's to a place Belichick has already been.
Yeah, it's one of those things where he doesn't seem to be losing it at all, right? Like, and it seems like he could be coaching for as many years as he wants.
Now, when he starts to make his off-season moves, and none of them have really happened yet, they've let some guys go.
No,
you seem to get over the Dwayne Allen release fairly quickly,
and he might even be back. Like, not that I want him back, but he could be a guy.
I just read today there are like four teams interested in him.
Well, but at what price?
Yeah, I know.
Right, and then if it's good enough to come back, because they've obviously liked him for some reason.
But when he announces that they've franchise tagged Stephen Gostkowski today, they sign some guy that you've never heard of. Remember the reaction around here when they gave Stephon Gilmore all that money?
Yeah, it was a surprise for sure.
And everybody said, what?
Yeah.
You had Darrell Revis. You wouldn't pay him and you gave Stephon Gilmore all that money?
It doesn't feel like this is going to be a year, though, where they make a big free agent signing, right? It's just sort of what guys do they have? Because they're not losing as many guys as they had a year ago. Right, I mean, think about all the guys, offense and defense, that all left in free agency a year ago. This year, it's really Trey Flowers, Trent Brown, and then after that, obviously, you got to make sure what's going on with Gronk. And outside of that, maybe they fill in with a free agent here or there, But I think the draft is going to be a huge priority for them. You know, picking it's six picks in the top 101. I think they're going to try to restock their young guys this year. But as far as a big free agent, it could come out of nowhere, but it doesn't seem like there's anything there.
Or possible trade for Josh Rosen, which I don't think they're going
to
do.
But yeah, I guess I don't want them to do that.
Theoretically possible.
Because if they traded for Rosen, I think they would have to give up the number 32 pick, which I would rather just take a player who's going to help you this year.
See what Kurt Warner said? No. I wouldn't give anything higher than a third-round pick for him. He lives there.
Jeez.
Sees him play all the time. And Kurt Warner said, I wouldn't give anything higher than a third. Now, remember, a year ago, they gave up, what, a third and a fifth-round pick to move up five spots in the draft to take the guy?
I think that's outrageous. I'm not high on Josh Rosen, but they just used a top-10 pick on him. And this is not a great quarterback draft class. Like, I like Kyler Murray, but the rest of the quarterbacks in this class aren't great. So if he was in this class, he's going in the first round. So to give up a third rounder, like, I think he just got too swayed by his bad rookie year. Like, when he was out there, he was bad, but the team was awful. I don't know what quarterback would have done well in Arizona. So I still think he has some value. I personally don't want him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's starting for a team somewhere next year.
Sports Illustrated, writing about this whole Josh Rosen trade market, trade value, said, and they say, let's say the Cardinals go all in. They decide, we're going after Kyler Murray. Says there are two categories of teams that would be interested in Rosen. Those that need a starter this year, and those that are looking for a successor to their veteran starter. That's kind of a short list, that the first ones, who are looking for a starter this year. Yeah. Washington, Miami, Jacksonville, although that's where they think Nick Foles is going to end up.
Right.
The second category, you know, the teams that are looking for the successor, well, that's a little different, and the Patriots would probably head that list.
Patriots, Giants, right? I mean, I think that could be a team. I mean, I don't know, Steelers. Like, I think there's all those teams that have quarterbacks are sort of their mid-30s or older. They could probably use a backup like Josh Rosen and maybe develop them. But, I mean, there are still a handful of teams that at the very least he could compete for and maybe end up being the starter. So I think they'll have a market. I don't think it'll be great. And he definitely didn't shine at all last year. So you have to base it off of what those teams felt about him coming out of college. That'd be their best bet.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Whatever he does this offseason, we'll criticize it. I don't mean you and me, although we will too. All of us. Patriot Nation, the moves that he makes, we'll criticize because we've done that every single offseason here.
Well, we'll see. So go on the record now then, like before it even happens. If they don't bring back Trent Brown, will you care?
No.
No, me neither. If they don't,
I think Isaiah Wynn's the guy they planned on being there anyway.
Should they sign Trey Flowers?
They should, but they won't.
Will you be mad if they don't?
Yeah, I'll be wrong.
Well, what do you mean?
They'll replace him. They'll do something. Yeah.
Sometimes they're
not going to franchise him today for $17.1 million.
No.
They're not going to sign him. He'll go to probably Miami. Brian Flores knows exactly what he brings to the table.
I would like to sign him. And I don't know you don't know if you're going to be wrong until many months away, right? But I think initially, that's not going to be revisionist history. I want Trey Flowers back. I don't care about Trent Brown. I think he's much more replaceable. Those are the two biggest guys that they have, right?
Well, Danny Amendola, they're going to let go.
What do you mean? Amendola?
I'm saying Amendola's going to the Jets. Chris Hogan, they're going to let him go.
Okay, bye.
Nobody's going to care.
Yep. Philip Dorsett, I would take back for cheap, but if he wants to go somewhere else for morning, fine. Jason McCourty apparently has a lot of interest around the league. I would like him back. I would have a feeling that he would want to be back, but if they really lowball him, then maybe he's gone. But I would like him back. I thought he had a great year.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kiefer Madness at the bottom of the hour. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.